How do you do? Have you ever run out of gas emotionally? Backup batteries flat too, and wondered if you'd ever be revived? Well, that hardly describes the man in this story. He was wired for 220 in a 110-volt world, full of energy, full of himself, until something caused a short circuit and all the fuses blew. He's not powerless now, though, not since his mind and heart and life were unshackled. Dramatizing true life stories that light the way, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It's often said that children enjoy the wonder, the anticipation, and the joy of receiving gifts most of all. And in a way, we experience a similar thrill every day here at the Old Lighthouse, as we offer hundreds of homeless people free gifts, food, clothing, and shelter, even medical and dental care if needed, and all without charge. Men, women, and mothers with children all find Pacific Garden Mission a refuge from the storms of life. Counselors open the door to freedom from bondage, the door to hope for the future, which is a gift from God, received like a child, with wonder, anticipation, and joy. That door leads to new life. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2408 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
From Germany come reports that thousands of Jewish shops were wrecked and burned last night by unruly mobs. Shopkeepers were dragged onto the streets and beaten, according to witnesses. Some were
Dear
killed.
God, I can't listen to this any longer.
Those who weren't killed were left in the
streets. Well, hello, boys. How was school? I was just fixing a glass of milk and cookies for you. Hang up your coats and wash your hands, and come sit down at the table. Now bring your schoolwork, too. What in the world is that? Stop that! Stop throwing rocks at our house! You hooligans, get away from here right now! Come on, boys, now get back inside. Hurry. I'm calling the police.
The year was 1938, and the man in our story was 6 years old when ruffians, some wearing brown shirts of the Hitler Youth Movement, assaulted his family home. He didn't live in Nazi Germany. He lived in Glassboro, New Jersey. But he was Jewish, and this is the story of his long journey to the Messiah, the true story of Ron Levin right now on Unshackled.
We didn't leave New Jersey because of the anti-Semitic incident. We left in 1940 because Dad went to work selling bushel baskets for a company in North Carolina. He moved us to Williamston, a town on the edge of the Great Dismal Swamp. We didn't know that years earlier, a Jewish man had been lynched there. Everybody liked my dad, though. When I was 10, Dad decided to make entrepreneurs of his three sons.
Boys, you have to get up now. The truck's in.
It's only 4 o'clock, Mom.
Now, come on, wake up. There's a load of peaches waiting for you to call.
Any bagels for breakfast?
Very funny. You know we traded bagels for beagles when we came here. But I have some homemade bread and jam.
Oh, boy. It might be fun selling peaches. Come on, Ronnie, get up.
Your father said he put 100 baskets on that truck.
Oh, 100 baskets.
100 baskets? Man, that'll take forever to sort and sell.
I thought I heard the truck come back. Come on inside, boys.
Oh, Dad.
Look at you, boys. You're all sunburned and dirty.
We worked all day in the sun. Yeah.
What'd you do with the leftover peaches? Did you leave them on the truck?
No, sir. We sold them.
All of them?
Pull out the money, guys.
My goodness, look at that.
Oh, yeah, jumping Jehoshaphat.
Daddy, calm down. You boys clean up for supper.
We even sold the soft ones. People wanted to make ice cream with them.
Yeah. There's almost $200 here. You sold them for that much?
Yeah.
$2 a bushel?
Yeah.
I sure did.
And I paid 25 cents. You boys made more in one day than most people make in a month.
Daddy taught us to put the biggest peaches on the bottom so no one ever felt cheated. My parents laid a good foundation, teaching us to work hard and live ethically. But we had a last name no one pronounced right, and a religion no one wanted to hear about. More than once, I came home from school in tears.
What happened to you?
It's Easter, and the gang of boys beat me up on the way home. They said we killed Jesus.
Oh, you'd better clean up. I'll get you some milk and cookies.
Did we kill Jesus, Mom?
No, but it's better not to talk about it.
But, Mom, who was Jesus?
He was a wise man and a prophet. But we didn't kill him. The Romans did.
A man spoke at the chapel today, and he said we did. Why does he say that? He said Jesus was the Son of God, and we killed the Son of God.
You don't pay any attention to them. And if anyone ever asks if you go to church, you say yes. That way you'll avoid an argument. Now here, have another cookie.
We sang hymns at the chapel service. Onward, Christian soldiers.
Don't you sing those words. You just pretend you're singing from now on.
I don't get it. My brother's bombing the Nazis and he's a Jew. How come they don't sing about us? There was no synagogue in town. But there were a few Jewish families, so Mother had me get instruction in our beliefs from one of the men. I believed in the existence of a divine being, a god of judgment, ready to punish. The summer after I finished 11th grade, I drove to Durham for a doctor's appointment. Driving home, I had an experience I'll never forget.
Oh. Oh, come on, son. We gotta get you out of the car.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Hey, boy. Yes, sir. You go to church? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, you sure better get down on your knees this Sunday and thank the Lord Jesus for sparing your life. If I wasn't seeing this with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. A car is a wreck. Engine up under the dash is on. In the grace of God, you're alive, boy. Shoot fire, you ain't even got a scratch. Can you walk?
Yeah, I'm okay. My medicine.
Oh, would you look at that? That bottle ain't even broke.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Well, I figured you fell asleep at the wheel. I saw you go past, weaving across the road, so I followed, honked my horn, trying to wake you up. Hmm. Then a truck come over the hill and would have hit you head on if your car hadn't gone off the road. You must have been doing 65 when you hit that pole.
Oh, I'm lucky, I guess. Just plain lucky.
I didn't understand the grace of God. I envisioned him as being angry with us, ready to exact vengeance. When I became a senior, I had no time for thoughts of God. That spring, the school janitor taught me to play the piano, boogie-woogie, hit tunes, whatever. And in college, I became an entertainer at fraternity parties. During Thanksgiving holidays at home, I borrowed the car and went out to a late-night spot. Hi, Dad, it's me. I just realized it's after midnight. I didn't want to worry you.
Where are you, Ron?
I'm at Eva's place. Don't worry, I just had a couple of beers. I'm playing the piano. And you can't do that and drink, too. Everybody's singing along with me and having a great time. I'll be home later.
Okay, that's fine, son.
Eva had a niece, a stunning girl my age, and we were instantly attracted to one another. The crowd was really getting into the music. And suddenly, they all stopped singing, put down their beers, and looked behind me. There stood my dad, pajama bottom sticking out under his coat, looking painfully embarrassed. He said, "Son, your mother wants you to come home now."
Who were you with, and what were you doing there?
I wasn't really out with anyone. I was just having a good time playing the piano at Eva's place. She has a cute niece, if you really want to know.
I absolutely forbid you to go to that place again.
Mother, I'm 19 years old. You're not going to control my life. What is it, Mom? I only had a few beers. What's wrong with having a good time?
A few years before we moved here, a Jewish salesman came through town, and he got involved with a local girl. And that night, four men burst into his motel room, bound and gagged him, and took him to the cemetery. They tied him to a tree. And after they did their dirty work, they just left him there. The police knew about it, but did nothing.
How did you find out about this?
A friend who's always lived here told me. She made me promise not to tell anyone, and I haven't until now.
Weren't those men sent to jail?
They were leaders in the community. They got 6 months suspended sentence. Well,
what does all this have to do with me?
The girl was Eva. Her brother did the dirty work with a knife.
And the girl that I find so attractive?
Is his daughter.
I was angry at God for letting that happen. Angry at all the hatred in the world. Angry that I couldn't go to Eva's place again. I plunged into college life with a passion. Writing for the newspaper, running cross-country, playing in the band, and all the while keeping an A average. Summer came, and I had all I could take of packing peaches. So I packed myself off to Myrtle Beach.
Hello?
Dad, it's me. I got a great job. A bingo caller.
A bingo caller?
Yeah. You ought to see me build the tip. Man, you'd be proud of my spiel.
Hey, how'd you get a job like that?
I listened to a guy call a while till I had his routine down pat. Then I told him I was a bingo caller. You gotta have chutzpah.
Well, you have more than your share of that.
Oh, that's not all. They found out I can play the piano, and now I play on Friday and Saturday nights at their other club. I made $30 in tips yesterday.
That's good, son. I'm glad you found work.
It's a blast, Dad. I'm having a ball. I ought to go into show business. I was high on some 120-proof stuff called Life in the Raw. I couldn't seem to get enough of it. And I knew I'd never go back to Williamston. Hungers and appetites had been awakened in me that would drive me for years, dominate me, all but destroy me.
In a moment, Ron will tell us about that. If Jesus Christ were to stand among us today, would you know him? Here's Dave Saulnier, superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission, with some answers.
The answers, of course, are given by God himself in the Bible, especially in the Gospel of John, where Jesus reveals himself most clearly. To help you know him better, you're invited to sign up for our Gospel of John Bible study course, which is absolutely free, all 7 lessons. Each lesson consists of 1 page of questions with scriptural references that you study to discern the answer. You can work at your own pace as you have time in the place of your choosing. Nothing to buy, no classes to attend. You learn from the master himself as he gives you enlightenment.
This course is ideal for people with crowded schedules or those who live far from a Bible school or otherwise cannot get any formal training. And everything you learn applies to your own life.
That's the beautiful thing about the Bible. It's the living word. God communicating with us his plan, his purpose for us. And the Gospel of John is a gold mine of wisdom and love without equal. That's why we centered our course on this book. As you center your life on him, you'll reap the rewards every day. We urge you to sign up for this course now. All you need is a Bible and a pencil. After you finish each lesson and return it to us, we'll grade it and send it back with the succeeding lesson. You don't need an envelope since our address is printed on the back of the lesson. Simply fold and fix a stamp.
Take advantage of this opportunity to know the Lord. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Ask for the Bible study course. Email unshackled@pgm.org.
For the next 10 years, I wandered in the wilderness of self. After graduating from college, I motorcycled across America, working all kinds of jobs to survive. After I earned my master's degree, I gave show business a try and was signed as a property with Allied Artists. My agent booked me in clubs all over the country. Summers, I worked with Dad and my brother in our peach business, and I grew closer to my father.
You've learned to estimate exactly what an orchard will produce, Ron. Helps me bargain with the farmers.
Meanwhile, Dick runs the packing house like a switch watch. What a team.
You want to stop by the house for a while?
No, I can't, Dad. Have a date with Sally. I got to get home and clean up.
How can you call an abandoned tobacco barn home?
I've called worse places home. You wouldn't believe some of the places I've crashed for the night, especially in Mexico.
Well, about time you settle down.
Yeah, I'm getting burned out on smoky bars. Maybe I'll have a go at marriage.
You don't have a go at that, son. It's a commitment.
I know. Give it all you got. Life's an adventure, Dad. The riskier, the better. Otherwise, you're not living. Sally and I were married on the 4th of July, 1964. The following year, our daughter Gretchen was born. And from then on, we took her with us wherever I was playing. That summer, I began promoting our brand of peaches up north.
My father died in January, and it was never the same. For the next 5 years, I plunged into marketing and advertising with a passion, started my own agency, and won lots of accounts and awards. But in the process, I lost my marriage. I left my agency to teach at the university level, then moved to California to help market those famous blue jeans. That's where I became friends with Gail.
Do you miss having your own agency, Ron?
Yeah, sometimes. I worked, ate, slept, and dreamed advertising.
Until you burned out.
Yeah, did I ever. Yeah, it can possess you. The creative juices, the thrill of winning a client and then an award. No wonder we all drink so much.
I'd probably do the same if I didn't have Jesus. He changes everything.
Don't tell me you're one of those Jesus freaks.
Yeah, I guess that describes me. I'm born again, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Jesus is the reason I got beat up as a kid every Easter. I don't want to hear about him, Gail. When I had enough of corporate politics, I quit and started my own agency again. I struggled along, barely making enough to survive, when a newspaper ad snagged my attention. Pizza parlor for sale. That's what I would do. I had no money, but I developed a marketing plan that I took to the bank, and the bank said no. I called Gail for consolation, and she agreed to meet me after work.
How much do you need?
$10,000.
Is that all?
Do you have an angel waiting in the wings?
I know someone even better.
Someone with money? Tell me, who?
It's God. God is going to help you, Ron.
God?
Tonight, you're going to pray and ask God for help.
I'm supposed to ask him for $10,000?
Not necessarily. Maybe God doesn't want you to have that pizza parlor. Did you ever consider that? Ask him to give you direction.
I don't know, Gail.
No, come on. Tonight, when everything is quiet, Ron, I want you to talk to God as though it's the first time you've ever met him. Tell him everything that's on your mind. Then ask him for his help, to give you a sign. Okay?
Well, that night, I sat on the floor. Before I knew it, I was pouring out the story of my whole life to someone I called God. I told him I felt like a failure, in spite of all my accomplishments. After talking a long time, I found myself weeping hysterically. I want my daughter to come and live with me, Lord. Tell me what to do. Show me. Then I fell asleep.
Hello?
Gail?
Oh,
you won't believe what happened this morning. Right after I got to work, this guy I barely know came to the office and said he heard that I was trying to open a restaurant. He loaned me the $10,000. Gave me a check right on the spot.
You see, Ron, what did I tell you? God answers prayer.
Yeah. Well, I gotta go to the bank and then do a million other things. I'll catch you later. I began learning the pizza business bit by bit. And I learned that the current owner had overestimated sales by 30%. Then he reneged on a verbal agreement to sell me the building. There was no way to succeed if I had to pay rent and repay the loan, too. Gail told me to pray and ask God for guidance. That night I prayed as before, admitting to God that I'd made another mistake. The next day was so unbelievable, I asked Gail to meet me after work.
Well, what happened, Ron?
Well, this morning, the owner called the whole deal off.
What?
Decided to keep the business. I had to pretend I was disappointed. But that's not all. At the bank where I got the money back, the county health inspector was there. And he's about to slap violations against that place, $28,000 worth. I'd have been ruined.
Oh, Ron, praise God he sheltered you from disaster.
Oh, but that's not all. An old client called and gave me his account worth $500,000 in advertising. Now I can bring Gretchen to live with me.
Ron, the Lord is revealing himself to you. Don't you see? He wants you to know his son, Jesus Christ.
Look, I'm grateful for what happened, but I'm not interested in getting to know Jesus. One of these days we'll have a long talk about God. But if he wants me to know his son, he's going to have to wait a long time.
He has all the time in the world. But Ron, you don't.
bought a condo so Gretchen could come and live with me, and my neighbors invited me to dinner one night. Turned out they were born-again Christians, too, who had been praying for a Jewish neighbor so they could tell him about Jesus. Great, just what I wanted to hear. But they had served a good meal, so I listened.
If you don't mind, I'd like to read you this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
That's news to me. Where is that?
Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. There's more. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. And verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
When did I say or write all this?
About 750 years before the birth of Christ.
Now, let me get this straight. Isaiah was one of our guys, right?
Right.
So this means...
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This scripture is found in Psalm 19, verse 7. Do you have a Bible?
No, I don't.
Please, take this one.
I couldn't sleep that night, so I sat and read the whole book of Isaiah and pondered for a long time. How did the old prophet know about all that? And why didn't the Jews listen? Yeah, but then I was no different. My business had prospered, and Gretchen came to live with me, yet I hadn't been praying, and I hadn't accepted Christ. So I decided things happened whether you believed it or not. Now I'd like to fast forward about a dozen years to 1991. Gretchen fell in love with and married a man whose father was a minister. A minister. I figured sooner or later he'd preach to me. Instead, we became friends. He listened to my despair and shared my pain as we took long walks together when he visited our city.
How is your project going?
This should have been a big one, Reuben. And it stalled out. I don't understand it. Everyone who sees it loves it. Why aren't they selling? Somehow we missed the mark.
I'm sorry to hear that.
The story of my life. I've had so many great ideas that should have made me rich and famous and wham. Hit by an 18-wheeler. Like Ms. Biscuit.
Ms. Biscuit?
Yeah, I had the idea for a fast food restaurant that specialized in sausage biscuits. Now everybody has them. But that was back in the early 70s, and nobody had them then. It was a bullseye right from the start. Franchise investors were standing by, checkbook in hand. Then, wham.
Well, what happened?
You won't believe it. A tractor-trailer rig lost its brakes and rolled down the hill, hit the restaurant dead center. Knocked the building right off the foundation. Knocked my dreams into smithereens.
But you're still here, Ron. And you've had the most interesting career of anyone I've ever known.
I had a lot of success along the way. But none of it seems to matter now. I don't know what's wrong. Something took hold of me in a vice-like grip, leaving my emotional life a shambles. I began to see a therapist. Night after night I read the Bible, but it was no comfort. Day after day, I hardly ate, but drank heavily. I felt like I was dying. One night, I picked up the gun I kept in a drawer. I decided to kill myself. But the truth was, I was already dead, and had been for a long time. I tried to call Reuben, and I got his answering machine. I left a garbled message. I sensed the presence of evil right there beside me, waiting to take me. Hello?
Ron, this is Reuben. Talk to me.
Reuben, I'm walking on the edge of the world. I don't know what to do, Reuben. I just don't know what to do.
Now listen to me, Ron. You have a Bible there, don't you? Now pick it up. Turn to Romans chapter 7. and start reading through chapter 8.
Romans 7 and 8?
Yes, yes, and just keep on reading until, well, until you're so tired you can't read anymore. And I'll call you first thing in the morning, or you call me, whoever wakes up first. Now, let me pray with you.
I put down the gun and did what he said. I found Romans chapter 7 and started reading. And I was stunned. That old Jew, Paul, and I had a lot in common. We both knew the same demons as portrayed in chapter 7. I also saw that the law couldn't save anyone, because no law can control the flesh. Only the Spirit of God can do that, as trumpeted in chapter 8. I couldn't stop reading. I turned back to the beginning of Romans and read the entire book. Then again, I saw all the sins I'd been dragging around behind me all those years, that God in His grace had sent His Son to die for them, to set me free. Weeping tears of joy, I fell back on the bed and slept. The next morning, I called Reuben.
Hello?
Reuben, this is Ron. Listen to me. I found the Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
I gave my life to Jesus Christ last night. I want you to baptize me as soon as possible.
Martha, pick up the phone. It's Ron. He knows the Lord. Hallelujah.
Ron completed a year of seminary, pastored a church for a year, and now spends his time writing and evangelizing through his ministry. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And friend, that includes you. Coming face to face with the Savior is a life-changing, life-saving encounter. If you don't know Him, this is the day to meet Him. For help in this vital decision, you may want to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Email unshackled@pgm.org. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. In Liberia, write to Box 10-0192, Monrovia 10. This is program number 2408. Heard in the true story of Ron Levin were Fred Stone, Herb Graham, Nancy Baird, Jill Schellebarger, Tom McElroy, and Peter Spector. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write soon. We look forward to your letters. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Email unshackled@pgm.org. Anytime, day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.